like your ska music? Then listen to the Scarpone's Sound Off podcast. Pick it up.
Ho, ho, ho. It's a very Merry Christmas to all of the listeners from the Scarpone's and their Sound Off podcast show. Keep it ska. Season's greetings to you all.
welcome to the Scapone Sound Off podcast episode. I've lost the episode numbers. I think it's episode nine. This one's Travels with the Panda. And that word on its own should be enough to know that my very special guest this evening is from Edinburgh. Hello, Edinburgh. Can you hear me?
Hello, Mr. Willow. I can hear you loud and clear.
Do you recognize the voice, ladies and gentlemen? Yes, it's Mr. Andrew Laidlaw, larger-than-life frontman of Edinburgh's finest big fat panda. How are you doing, mate? You all right?
I'm doing well, mate. Yeah, yourself?
You've had some year, man.
It was certainly a hairy year, you know.
ladies and gentlemen, while we're recording this, I can actually see Andy on the screen, and you look much better.
No, and this isn't even done again.
It does, yeah. Unless you want to grow it again for another year, which I'm sure you don't.
No chance.
So how's tricks? How's life in the panda camp and with yourself? And
it's the same as everybody. Eh? We're all quiet and waiting to get back gigging. We've done a couple of live streams. We've done a bit of recording. We're going to try and get an EP out probably end of January.
And it's a speech about it.
It's just a waiting game, isn't it?
It's the worst thing, you know. I mean, we did a social distant gig in back end of August now. Have you done any of them?
The
social distance gigs.
No. I suppose Sunday was kind of that. We were recording a bit for the Scottish newspaper, the Scotsman. So we done a wee live recording.
Oh yeah, you're talking about that.
That was a bit for Christmas.
Oh, excellent. That's something. But it's just nice to doing something, isn't it?
You know what I mean? It's just nice to see people.
I think exactly. This is the worst thing. And the worst thing about, and I say it every week as well, is the worst thing about all this is because live music is such a form of expression, isn't it? You know, if you're, I know from a personal point of view for me, is that I get rid of all my tensions, weekly tensions, by doing a gig. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I've smashed it out.
Yeah, totally.
And you, I know you take the same approach because I've seen you.
Yeah, completely. And the music's just totally, that's my complete release, you know, for normality, you know, it's just great fun.
And, and you're a bit like me, we're all a bit touchy-feely, aren't we? So we miss the crowd and wrapping rounds around people and dancing with people and you know what I mean? And
totally.
It's the worst thing. It's this disconnection of human thing I can't stand, you know, whether it's for family, friends, or whatever, it's just awful, you know. But like you say, hopefully.
We're huggers.
Tree huggers.
Peely huggers.
Ladies and gentlemen, of course, Andy, of course, is well known for his time in Big Fat Panda. But you've heard a bit of a check. Well, not supposed to say. I was going to say a checkered history then, but it's not checkered, is it?
Two-tone check.
Sorry, I'm thinking about all the Scapone's members. Sorry. but you've been in plenty. I mean, one thing I do love. One, I love Edinburgh. It's my favourite city. Beat London, anywhere else. Absolutely a stunning place. Love Scotland. I'm never away from the place. It's always had a rich history, hasn't it, of ska bands, hasn't it? You know.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. I remember seeing Capone and the Bullets in the early 90s, I think it was, and bands like that, and there seems to be quite a lot around at the moment as well. He's doing pretty. Because I know it goes in deep in sort of dips and troughs, Edinburgh, doesn't it? Or the scene.
I mean, well, obviously, Bomb Scare have been about for.
Centuries.
for ages, you know. I was 25 when I joined Bomb Scare.
Yeah.
Or Descavu.
Is that what they were called then? Was that what they were called?
It was Descavu.
Ladies and gentlemen, you heard it here. I think I prefer Bomb Scare.
So yeah, that's been a while. But I mean, before that, Murray, that's in Bomb Scare.
He had a
band called Proy.
Proy.
What a fantastic band.
Did that really stand for Prize Rosettes on Ice?
I have no idea. I have no idea.
Oh, that's what I got told. I'm just don't shoot the messenger.
I think I'd heard it was Presidents on Ice, but I honestly don't know. Someone else told me it was Pre-Oi.
Yeah. Ah.
That was another one I'd heard. But enough to ask Murray.
Well, I remember hearing Proy do That's Entertainment in a ska version. I've actually got Proy cassettes upstairs, stuff like that. But Yeah, I remember they were cracking bands. Yeah, but you, so where did you start musically wise? What did you do? What was the first band you're in?
It was Bombs Gear.
It was the very first.
As I say, Discovery, but we basically Chicken that wrote most of the songs in the early days. He's now in Brass Knuckle.
That's right.
They used to come to a pub that I worked in. Uh-huh. And we ended up starting the Edinburgh and District Skinhead Club. But I'd been into dance music for a whole period before that. I think it was more that sort of tribal thing. They're just dancing on their own.
Yeah, understandable. So, yeah, it's all relative.
And then we ended up going to see the specials at the venue.
Yeah.
And as I say, we went back to the pub where I worked, and we were just sitting having a drink. There was a karaoke on, of which I had been terrified to sing on completely. And I got up and sang Kingston Town, and he went, "You're in a band. That's it. You're joining the band."
They're the best auditions, aren't they?
That was it.
That's how it often works, isn't it? You know.
Yeah.
So what year was that would have been? Would that have been early?
Oh, gee whiz.
Did I?
About 97, maybe.
96, 97. Aye, about that. Yeah, sounds about right. If you saw the specials, yeah. And that obviously, like you say, that turned into Bomb Scare, didn't it? And stuff like that.
Yeah.
And how long was you a Bomb Scare for?
Well, that would have been about 10 years.
Would you be Bomb Scare 10
maybe,
years?
No, maybe not as long as that. Maybe 6 or 7 years.
Long enough, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It was right up. We done 2000. When did I move to Scarborough? Because that's pretty much why I left.
Hmm.
I'd moved to Scarborough for work reasons.
Yeah, yeah.
I was traveling back up to Edinburgh for gigs.
Oh, a nightmare.
And sometimes they just weren't enjoyable. And I just said, no, look, this is it for me. I've had enough.
Yeah.
So a couple of years in Scarborough, and when we moved back up here, Chicken got in touch with me and got me to join the Harringtons.
I was just going to say, I'm sure, were you in the Harringtons? Yeah, yeah.
I got sacked from the Harringtons.
You can say what you want on here, something.
Yeah. No, it's true. I got sacked from the Harringtons.
What was that for? Come on.
Because I was there in the third backing singer place. That's where I was meant to be, doing backing vocals in third place. And I kept jumping to the front and not trying to take over, but trying to make things work a bit easier, you know. I just doing what I thought was right.
Yeah.
They just said no.
So was it an acrimonious split?
Sorry.
Was it an acrimonious split? So is the Harringtons sort of like, is that where the Skibabs come from?
Yes. Yeah. Well, it split in half.
Yeah.
The whole that was later on because in between that, myself and Deeks started the 1 o'clock guns.
The 1 o'clock guns, yes.
So we were there. We were doing that for a long time. Well, I say a long time, maybe a year or two.
Yeah.
And it was during that time that the Harringtons split up.
Right.
And Davey went his way and formed the Skibabs.
Yeah.
And Chicken carried on, had the Harringtons going, and kind of drafted me and Deeks back in.
Yeah. Go on, sorry.
Yeah, no, it's all right, man.
Well, just sticking back to the 1 o'clock guns, tell me a bit more about that.
Yeah.
For people that don't know.
Well, it started off more like a punk covers band. and then we wrote a couple of tracks, very much Virgin on the Oi, but we done, one of my favourite covers that we kept was Rat Race.
You love Rat Race, don't you?
Yeah, 100%. And so we'd kept that, and it just moved on. But our drummer at the time broke his ankle, and we ended up taking almost a full year out, and that's when me and Deeks went to the Harringtons.
Yeah.
Then there was a reason behind this.
I'll tell you something. You need to write. What you need to do is you need to write a Scottish Scar family tree because you were there forever. Go on.
There was a bit of a gig where there was one of the singers in the Harringtons was a bit drunk. Wasn't he me?
That's all right.
And
it's a change, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, he actually annoyed Neville Staples.
Oh, right.
And while they were playing on stage, and I was like, I says, look, we need to ditch the name the Harringtons, I says, and get something else, just do it. And that's where Big Fat Panda was born. And it's just had so many different lineups since then.
Yeah, well, as it always goes. But where'd you get the name from? I've always been intrigued by that, to be honest. I don't know, to be honest.
That would totally be because of that little chant that Buster Blood Vessel gets.
Oh, yeah.
The old you fat
bastard.
Fat bastard, yes.
Yeah.
So, and I thought, right, well, we can do that. It was almost going to be something like King Penguin or something else, you know.
Yeah,
but anything that was going to be black and white, a black and white animal.
It makes a lot of sense, yeah.
And
right, that's interesting. I never knew that.
Yeah. Everybody shouting, you fat bastards, and we just got the chant, Big Fat Panda going.
That's amazing. I didn't know that. Well, it makes sense. Now I know. That's brilliant.
Now you do know. That's what this is for.
Well, as we go through all these podcasts, I don't know if you heard any, but stuff, we get people in and they play their. I always say their favourite four tunes, and I think we briefly discussed it in our chat previously online, but. You know, I think if you ask somebody to put the four tunes together, it could change every day, couldn't it?
Definitely. I struggled when you said your favorite four, and I thought, oh no, what am I going to do? Because it's like I said, do you pick the ska ones that influenced you the most, or the ones that mess about with your feelings and your head? So I've picked four that. I've got a bit of a meaning, but I could have done 400. You know?
Exactly. This is what everyone's had a problem with. I said, send me 4 ones over. They go, you're fucking joking, aren't you?
That's right.
Give you 400. But the first one I'm gonna play now, and this is you covered this for the second Specialized album, I do believe. It's a very good version, and this is one of the better, for me. Dare I say, second best two-tone band out of the lot, I think, for me personally.
I just love his voice.
And, you know, I think, you know, I mean, we've played with... Have you played with Dave? Have you supported the beat or any kind?
Yes.
You know, and it's just, it's... his voice, you're right, and there's just something special about him. I don't know, it's him and Roger working together and the, you know... And again, it's another band that if you take integral parts out, it loses something straight away. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know. And,
oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
But this is Doors of Your Heart Now. And this is one of my favorite beat tracks. As well.
I just love it.
It's a happy, happy song, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a happy song.
Great. So happy memories to that one.
Exactly. Yeah. But right. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is Andrew Laidlaw's first track of the evening. This is the Doors of Your Heart by The Beat. Take it away, chaps.
My heart. and then you blame nobody. Said so you shouldn't really fight, man said. I said you shouldn't really fight. Every time it happens, seem to act a little touch.
Listen to old men talking amongst themselves.
You've got the Scapones Sound Off podcast.
So there we go. Doors of your heart. Welcome back to the Scapones. I can't even say it, Andy. Sound Off podcast. I thought I'd get the phone. That's mouthful. So there was the doors of heart you beat. I'm gonna ask you why. I mean, it's a tough question because, like you say, because sometimes certain things can just resonate with you. And there are no explanations, are there? There's a lot of tracks,
totally not.
Something to you.
Yeah. Some songs just get inside you and they make you smile. It's like you say. I suppose one memory I have of it, I always kind of use it for sound checking.
Yeah.
And once when we were supporting the selector, I was singing, doing my vocal, and Pauline Black came up out of the dressing rooms and stood and watched me perform it. I thought, wow. And that's going back.
Is that the Nick Welsh? Is that the Nick Welsh period of selector? Is it?
Or... Yes. Yeah. So that was that. And then lo and behold, they brought it out in the acoustic version, didn't they?
They did. Yeah.
So I'm going to take the credit for that.
Nah. I wonder if you. That's a fair comment, that I think, actually. I'm going to mention it to him.
It was probably just coincidence, that. Like.
take it where you can get it. So, I mean, the beats. I mean, do you like the stuff in general, or is it just one song, or?
No, everything. When I was younger, I wasn't so much into their dubby kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. That came with age, I think.
It does, yeah. It's a selective test.
I loved Just Can't Stop It album and Special Beat Service. I loved as well.
I confess,
I love that as well. You know,
absolutely, I agree. Special Beat Service is a great, great album. For me as well, you know, it's quintessential English songwriting. No, British songwriting, sorry, should I say. Do you know what I mean? It's sort of like...
Soul Salvation, just...
Yeah, Soul Salvation, well, one of my favourite tracks, yeah, absolutely. And, of course, you know, it's just everything. Like you say, I Confess is Jeanette, and it's all a bit different, isn't it? You know. But they still keep the nuances of what they were all about, and that's what I love about it,
yeah.
You know.
And even moving into Aki 1-2-3, that's just such a happy tune, you know.
It's completely happy. It's brilliant, isn't it? Yeah. Speaking of which, let's go back to Big Fat Panda. Have you got any favourite tracks that you do? Have you got any, you know, I mean, I'll speak like happy. Is it? We're just talking about happy songs, and my missus loves it when you do that because you paint a picture with that song. And that was what songs should do. I think painting a picture is a fantastic thing. If you can paint a picture lyrically, you've cracked it. And that song does the exact same thing. And you know, the Edinburgh Tourist Board are missing out a treat on that one song. I'm telling you. But she really does love that. And it's a great track. So have you got anything you think would say, well, that's my favourite, no matter what we do?
I mean, I can tell you is Happy is a True Story. It was about when me and Sarah first got together.
Excellent.
And we just went for a wander. I mean, it's a bit far-fetched because we didn't do all these places, you know, but we... I'm carrying a bit of...
Artistic interpretation, as we call it.
We've probably done it all in a month.
Makes a great song, though.
But no, it was just nice to do something all... writing all about Edinburgh.
Because, you know, you've got a strong Scottish identity and it's, I think it's very very, very important. It's like what we do with the Scapones and stuff as well is we have a strong Northern identity. It's been mentioned quite a bit, actually. We don't realise until people review something and say something. And yeah. You know, and we are proud of where we come from. We all should be. And
definitely should be.
You know, and Scotland's a beautiful place and we're beautiful people. And that track for me, like you say, I know my missus, she nearly cries when she hears it. You know, So have you got any others? Is that just the Fat Panda ones that, you know, you think you could not do without?
At the moment, I'm really enjoying singing Man in the Middle.
That's a great track. That is one of your probably,
I just have so much fun while I'm doing it.
And it's a little bit different, isn't it, from what you normally do? Do you know what I mean? It's almost trad a bit, isn't it?
Traditionalish.
Yeah. It's a little nod, isn't it?
Yeah, but that's Dins. Dins wrote that one.
No surprise. And,
I just love it. I just love doing it.
Again, great lyrics, isn't it? You know.
Yeah. It's so simple, you know. And just another happy tune. Great to dance to.
Yeah. Well, it's like, you know, I mean, when Dave McNiff, our trumpet player, he did the rearrangement of Sahara and stuff like that, you know, I mean, so I think Sahara's one chord all the way through. That's all you need. Do you know what I mean?
Though. Yeah. What a great version, though, eh?
Yeah. But, you know, that's what, you know. So, so of all the time you've had in music and stuff like that, what's been your favourite gigs across the board? You could have it with anybody who you played with. Have you got some favourite gigs with every band or something stand out?
Yeah, probably my favourite was supporting Toots and the Maytals in Glasgow. Only because I got to shake Toots's hand.
Yeah, it's a bit special, that isn't it?
That's like meeting royalty, I suppose, you know. So
the thing is, if you hadn't, shaken his hand and hit without him, you wouldn't have been in Big Fat Panda.
That's right. None
of us would have been listening to anything like that.
That's exactly it.
Yeah.
But my favourite gig to play was the year we played in the scooter tent at the Wicker Man Festival.
Excellent.
The tent was basically full.
Yeah.
And it just, what an atmosphere at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you know.
It's great when you get gigs like that.
We went down a storm at the time, and we had a stand-in drummer, which is kind of standard practice for us, although Merty's been there for a while now.
But
you know yourself, when we came down to Specialised, every year we had drum problems, you know.
Just a few. Broken hands and the like, and one snap wrists.
Point
and
Paul Harris.
Mr. Utility. Yeah.
What a legend.
He is a legend. He is indeed. He is.
No, the scooter tent one was just fantastic. Like, absolutely fantastic.
Oh, brilliant. So, and how long ago? Was that a few years ago?
That's a few years ago now. I think I'm terrible with dates, but that's probably about 8 or 9 years ago, I would say. Maybe even longer. Right. I couldn't even say for definite when we played your wedding.
That's 10 years ago. I've got to get that right, for fuck's sake.
No, I'm not trying to get you into trouble, Paul.
She doesn't listen. We're all right. She's normally stood behind me. She normally walks in when I'm on the podcast and go, are you recording? Yes, love. And I have to edit it out. But she's doing the college work, so we're all right tonight.
We're all right.
Yeah. So, ladies and gentlemen, this man here is also responsible. I don't know if anybody knows. It started off in its infancy last year, I think it was. Yeah, last year. And the Food Bank Skank. Now, the Food Bank Skank. Tell us all about the Food Bank Skank.
The Food Bank Skank. Simple idea. Pay to get into a gig with a bag of shopping, £5 or more. And it all gets donated to the food bank. That's
fantastic.
It. Simple.
Do you know what sort of figures? Do you know what you've helped or what you've done? Or what's...
I honestly couldn't say, because it was only just really starting to gather momentum.
It was, yeah.
Boom, we've not been able to do anything more with it this year. Hopefully we'll get back into it.
Yeah.
In fact, I know we'll get back into it as soon as we can.
Because it's a cracking idea, really. And it's such a, like you just said there, such a simple idea, really, isn't it? You know,
simple, you know. And, I mean, you don't have to raid your bank, you can just raid your cupboard, you know.
Yeah, well, this is right. You know, I mean, this is the easiest thing, isn't it?
Music.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, and the best thing about it is, you know, seeing other people benefit from it as well, you know. And which takes me into your association with the Specialised Project as well, because You're pretty much like an old painting on the wall down at Specialist.
The old drunk in the corner.
Uncle, what they call it, Uncle Knobhead. Oh, he's here again.
Specialised has been an actual dream. I can't thank you enough for getting us involved in that.
Ah, it's great. And, the thing is, we want to, the thing we do, and I think the thing we capture right at Specialised is the fact that we have it's a good time thing. The whole thing's a good time thing from start to finish, and we don't want any silliness or ridiculousness and stuff. But so we need everything to be, and the Pandas encapsulate, a fun time band, don't they? And that's what we need. And, you got to the stage now where people are actually going out and buying Panda onesies to join you on stage.
Fantastic, you know.
Does it?
It's just really good fun. It does feel like a proper family thing.
It does, yeah. Yeah.
Specialised. And the work that yous all do behind the scenes, because didn't think I'd any notice, because I do. I sit back and watch what's going on. And what a fantastic job yous do. What an effort you put into it.
Yeah, we were surprised. I think after 10 years, I think we're sort of getting it right slowly now. but you mentioned Specialised there. So people, I don't know how many people realise, but I mean, obviously people in the Specialised community will realise, but people out of it, especially say the Scarcity in Edinburgh, place like that, don't realise that you've done something very special for Specialised, haven't you?
We did indeed, yes. Halfway around the globe. and went to Australia.
It's not something you can say every day, that, is it?
No, all that travelling, we've done an hour's gig. Brilliant.
the big Panda work ethic is still nice and strong. That's the main thing.
Yeah, I mean, it was absolutely brilliant. What an experience. Again, thanks to Specialised for sorting that. Sally Gillard, what a champion she is.
Ah, she is.
All her family were absolutely brilliant. Took me into their house. Just treated me like one of their own. It was brilliant. And the other thing, Pat Powell, that's over there.
Our ambassador.
He actually he uses our old drummer Hutch.
Does he?
Ah, he does.
Fucking.
I know.
These links are amazing.
How bizarre! The very that small planet Earth. I never knew it. I just got a message off them one day, sent a photo with him and Hutch smiling at me.
Yeah, that's crazy, that, isn't it? That's mad. Absolutely mad. You can't have it. Actually, it's just, of all the people in the world, how big is the world? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You couldn't write the script, could you? So what was the, how was the travelling with the flights and stuff?
That was okay. But I mean, everything went really well. I mean, it's pretty much 24 hours though. You're on the go for. Mm. Somebody said to me, it'll depend on whether you want a bacon roll or a beer when you land, as to whether you've caught up with the jet lag.
Which one was it? Was it A or B?
Both.
That's a good compromise. Yeah, but so what did you do while you were there then? I mean, on the music front, what was the gig? You want to mention the gig?
Yeah, the gig, the Ska Vendors played.
Mm-hmm. Great band.
The Oscars and Mental as Anything.
Obviously
you got the star song there.
I have to admit, it's one of my, I was going to say guilty pleasures, but I don't think that's fair. That's not fair to the track. You know what I mean? It's not fair to the track because... I was wondering about
this. It's a great pop song, eh? It really
is. This is what I was saying last week in my interview with Mark, when Mark was interviewing me. Pop music. You know what I mean? Two tone ska. There's a lot of ska, and two tone is pop, and is made up of pop. And I was on about ABBA and people like that, but that is another cracking ultimate pop song. And there's nothing better. I mean, we had a lot of an our band going, saying, oh, we can't do this live. We can't. I said, yes, we fucking can. And now we got, all these big swinging 6-foot skinners. We're like, hey, the arms in the air. You can leave it up.
They know every word.
Every word. They've been out on a Friday night up the town, haven't they? So obviously, poor old Greedy's passed away, unfortunately, in a terrible situation. It was about a year ago, I think, wasn't it?
It was just about a year ago. I seen something on Facebook that that had been a year since he'd passed. Mm. I did tune into his funeral, the live stream.
I saw about that, yeah.
And
surreal.
Fantastic tributes for the man. Mm. I mean, I only met him briefly, obviously, but we got on well.
Well, that's the yeah. He's
interesting.
Yeah, and I but you know, I was emailing him as well, and you know, whatever he had done with each individual track, he was very impressed with. You know, especially yours as well, because you know, yours was a different again, wasn't it? I think you know.
Advanced
so
life.
Yeah. I mean, that's it. You'll always have that one on me, I'll tell you.
That was, honestly, and even Neil that stood in on the keyboards was like, oh.
Brilliant. I love it. So and do you do a lot of sightseeing while you were there? Did you get a chance to do stuff?
Oh, we done a few bits and pieces. I went to Summer Bay.
Oh, Manderway.
So we had a kick about there, and I got down with the animals at a petting zoo, which was a bit different with the kangaroos and
kangaroos,
everything.
Is it good?
Didn't like the thought of the spiders or anything like that. I'm just not the things that can kill you, you know.
That's the problem with Australia, isn't it? Obviously, it's in a place I've always wanted to go and I've always wanted to do. But for you to go out there and do something specialised, extra special, I think it's a brilliant thing. And you raise a lot of money. I think it was about $3,000-$4,000, wasn't it, or something like that?
Yeah.
Brilliant. You know, I mean, Sally works so hard for us as well. And she's been, you know, she was sharing me emails and she was panicking at one point, you know, and I'm trying to give her advice on what to do and stuff like that. And but she managed to pull it off as she always does, you know. I was just going to say, when it comes to the push, comes to the shove, she's good up here and she's brilliant.
Yeah.
You know, she's one of these people you can rely on.
Yes. A very, 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 very nice lady.
If you're listening in.
With a very understanding husband.
Oh, he has to be, yeah. Right.
Aye, a lovely family. And the dogs.
So, I was going to say to you, does it surprise you how people take to you as a band? Because you do have quite a, you know, a good following with a lot of people.
We were once described as a ska band. That's the party band for the after show party, you know, any gig.
Yeah. That's a good description.
I couldn't even tell you who that was.
Yeah.
Me.
Hey, there's nothing wrong. You sussed it. You sussed the out of PR in one fell swoop there.
Do you know what? And it's purely that when we get on stage, we enjoy ourselves.
Well, this is important.
I mean, even if the crowd don't take to us immediately, We kind of force them to enjoy it.
Well,
I've
noticed that a lot on from a Scapone's point of view. It's like when you start playing original stuff at the beginning. I remember doing a couple, two or three tracks. Everybody sits down, don't they?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And you think,
yeah, totally.
And you think, ah, fuck, you know, right, quick, do Monkey Man. Do you know?
It's an easy way out.
It is an easy way out. But you know, we got to the point where we refused to do it. There was nothing, and I said to him, you know, why have the courage of you know, have the courage of your own convictions. You don't write music for no fucking reason, just to let it go by the wayside, you know. And if they don't dance, they don't dance, but they will dance. Yep. You know what I mean? Eventually, and
they do. They sit there and they listen, and then the next time they see you, they go, oh, there's that track.
Yeah, yeah.
And they get up and they enjoy it.
Yeah.
As long as you're enjoying yourself on that stage,
this is important.
It'll come across to the audience. That's what I think anyway.
You're right, because I mean, I've seen plenty of bands, and it's no disrespect to bands who have their own styles and whatever, but there's been far too many bands for me where you got four or five people in a band stand behind microphones, strumming guitars and do not move. And that for me is not a show. It's not, it's just you might as well have a fucking jukebox on. And
that's right.
You know, I want to be entertained. I want my eyes, because that's the connection. You know, the music is great, yeah. But if you're having a good time, you could be playing original stuff that they've never heard of before. If you're bouncing around on that stage, it's infectious, you know.
Yep. If everybody's jumping about or doing their own thing on different bits of the stage, the whole audience is getting a show, and they're not seeing the same show.
Yep.
They're getting their own version of what they're looking at, you know.
Excellent. This is what it is. Right,
it's all about
now,
having fun.
Yeah, having fun, that's what it's all about, mate. Right now, excuse me, tea's coming up. Right now, this one, this is Andy's second choice. Now, I mean, to be honest with you, there's not much fucking point talking about this one because it was obvious. I think this is you shook the hand of Toots LeMaitre, but I don't think he's your true hero, is he?
No, he's not my true hero at all. No.
Do you want to tell people who your big true hero is?
That has to go to a man with a big tongue. Buster Blood Vessel. It's just my. That's the first band I seen live, and he got his arse out on stage. And I just remember thinking, wow, that's amazing. You know, just the total nonsense that they were doing. They were chucking buckets of water out, and just. It was like Tiz was on stage.
That's a great description. Is that what, do you think, I mean, I've often said you can, I think that's what incorporate, you can see that in Big Fat Panda. I think you can see quite a lot of bad manners in Big Fat Panda.
Let's be honest, that's my influence here. That's my big influence. There's no lie there. There's no, I'm not trying to hide it. I know I'm not trying to steal his act or anything either, but that's it. And when he did finally get me up on stage, wow, what a feeling that was, you know, just not just a feeling. It was like
what he did there. What he did there. He's getting them all in, ladies and gentlemen. We'll go with this one. This next one is Andy's second choice, ladies and gentlemen. This is Walking in the Sunshine, the one and only Bad Manners.
Thank you.
Walking in the Sunshine Band Manners, Andrew Laidlaw. Big Andy, the big fat panda himself. It's his second choice. Why that particular Bad Manners track? Because there are thousands, aren't there?
Right. It's not even my favourite Bad Manners song, but...
Yes.
It's my most memorable one because when I was a teenager, I couldn't buy records in Bonnyrigg, where I came from. There was no record shops.
Yeah.
So we had to go to Dalkeith. Now, that was dangerous territory for a Bonnyrigg skin. But I was so determined to get Walking in the Sunshine single that I got the bus down to Dalkeith into the centre and went into Woolworths and bought the single, standing beside. I could see all the sort of Dalkeith skins over in the corner, you know.
All right, lads.
And I kind of bought it and shuffled out the shop and walked off it quickly up to the bus station.
Thinking, yes, victory, get it.
But I got it, yeah. And I even managed to tell Buster this story as well. So
the thing is, like you just said there, you know, the fact you just recounted that tale shows what an impression it had on you, you know, and that's obviously why the connection's there with the record, isn't it, and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
Have you got a favourite Bad Manners album?
Right. Now, that's the thing. Is it Scan B or is it Goshits? And, I have to say,
personally speaking, my point of view is Goshits.
Yep.
Because
I have to agree, I love the album.
It's almost a grown-up Bad Manners album.
Track, you know. Yeah.
Because that was really. I know there's some like sort of novelty songs on there, but for me, that was. Did you know there was like Weeping and Wailing and Dan Setter and things like that, which are Weeping and Wailing.
Never Will Change.
Never Will Change. Yeah. You know, and stuff like that. And then there's quite a lot of tracks I like on Forging Ahead, which people don't really talk about Forging Ahead quite a lot.
Yeah.
And it is a bit of an eclectic mix of an album, but you know, Rose of Italy, I mean, it's a bit of a daft song, you know, when you listen to it, I suppose, if some people came to it. But when you listen to what's going on, fucking hell, it's a monster of a track. Monster of a track. You know.
They're just so technically involved in a lot of the musicians in the band were just fantastic.
Yeah, the brass section were awesome.
About that.
Yeah.
The brass set, Martin Stewart on the keyboards and just outstanding, you know. Yeah. And obviously Louis Alfonso into, you know, it's just what a band. Even Educating Marmalade.
Which I used to love anyway. I think I used to watch it because of the theme tune.
Yeah. I was the same.
I remember seeing them, oh God, must have been 82, 83 maybe, I don't know. So I was quite lucky. It was the only time I ever saw them with the original lineup. And so on the ones, I think the split, some left, didn't they? They kept going. But and like you say, the show was phenomenal. You know what I mean? And it was, and it was just, it was 100 miles an hour, start to finish. Didn't stop, straight all the way through. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was just amazing. What was your first live gig that you ever went to?
It was almost like a gospel-y band that I went to see that later out turned, you know, it was kind of like a gospel rock band.
Yeah.
And apparently later it turned out to be some members from Runrig that done it. But they were doing like small town halls and church halls and things like that.
Right.
So that's why I seen them. I missed my opportunity to get in to see Crass, who played at my high school. But I never got in.
Okay. And you never got in? Why did you not get in?
I was just too young. They just didn't. I was probably, I don't know, would I have been first year or. I can't think if I was primary seven or first year, but it was really, really early. And I never got in. Me and my mates never got in. So.
it's always the
must
thing.
That must have looked like trouble.
No, surely not. I'm sure not. No, I don't believe a word of that.
I just remember sort of standing outside trying to hear what was going on.
Oh, it's awful, isn't it?
We kind of gave up halfway through, you know.
Yeah, I used to hear it doing that. I used to have torches standing outside listening through the walls. And stuff. Oh,
bottle of cider down the park instead, you know.
Yeah. It's been drowned your sorrows, yeah. Cider down the park. You know, we should reinstate that as you get older. There's something missing about cider in the park, I think.
Well, I think it's becoming quite a trend again.
Well, I'm sure after Brexit, we'll be all doing Cider in the Park, to be fair.
Right, Cider in the Park, you know. Beach tea in the park.
So, how's the present, restrictions with the COVID situation affected everything? I mean, as you as a person, you know, are you, I'll be honest, over the last, probably the last couple of weeks, I've been a bit of a moody ass, a bit of a meltdowny, fucked off character, really.
You?
<I'm only kidding. laughs> Did I detect sarcasm, ladies and gentlemen?
It's hard to stay positive, isn't it? That's the.
Well, it's trying to remain positive, isn't it? I like reading your posts on the morning on Facebook because it sets me off, and honestly,
it's why I do it. Yeah. It's like if you
get
can
yourself off to a good start.
Smile just a wee bit, you know,
yeah.
in a day. Then great, you know. But it's just. We're people that should be out gigging and having a good time. It's like you say, that's it's not happening. And I mean, for the guys that are earning their money that way, it must be a real strain for them, you know, a real nightmare. At least I'm working, you're working.
We're in a lucky situation.
I can't say a release because all you're doing is going to work and then coming home.
This is the thing about it. This is what I said. I said on Facebook the other day, you know, a lot of the times I type on Facebook to get all the shit that's in my head out. And once it's out on paper or it's on the print, it's gone. I'm fine. But, and I said, it just feels like it's work, eat, sleep, work, eat, sleep, work, eat, sleep, repeat to fade, you know, and, you know, after a while you become, you know, it's almost like not brainwashing, but there's some, you know, it feels like that. Do you know what I mean?
And
you become a bit of a drone to the machine sort of thing. And that ain't me. Do you know what I mean?
I'm the same. I mean, trying to count the number of weekends I've stayed in the last God knows how many years. You know, 40 years.
Well,
or so.
the missus has said, you know, she said, although, you know, she misses sort of like reaping a bit of the band fees because I know she give my money to her. You know, if I get paid, I give everything to her and stuff. But she said, you know, the plus factor is I've had you in.
Yeah,
we can have nights in watching the films and doing whatever you want to do and going out and, you know, arranging things and stuff like that. And I mean, we do. So I mean, what do you think of that? Because you're a family.
Wow, mine's
you're a family
opposite.
Man, aren't you? He loves Sarah. Sarah fucking
like
it.
That. Get out. do you know what? For the
it's a double edged sword, isn't it?
Yeah. For the full lockdown. The proper lockdown. I know England's in a full lockdown at the moment, but
the shit all is what it is.
For the first full lockdown, I was it was good because Sarah was working. She's worked the whole thing
all the way through,
but from home.
Yeah.
But me and Mary just mucked about in the living room with the keyboard. She just kept playing tunes, and I just kept suggesting tunes to her, and she mucked about with them, things like Rat Race, Tears in My Beer. It's great. So she's had a bit of she's always had an insight into ska music. But,
yeah, of course, obviously, yeah. But one thing I will say, what I'm just going off course a little bit, is Mary there actually is seeing things on Facebook where you see how far she's come in a short period of time.
Yes.
It's only been a couple of years, hasn't it? Really?
Well, that's it. Yeah. I mean,
she's playing with the pandas on a big 1-9 stream or whatever it was we were doing. You know, fucking hell, what's going on? On keyboard.
On the keyboard, that's it. Well, that's the thing. She's mucking about with keyboard. She's got her guitar, her bass guitar. She plays double bass.
Wow.
So, she's getting a bit. But I mean, her real strong thing is her voice.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
a singer. You know?
Yeah, she is. She's got a great voice, Are you very proud, are you?
I'm very proud. You are, Paul, as well, you know.
Excellent.
But you've got to be. I mean, you've got to get behind your kids. Eh? You just totally get.
Absolutely, of course you do. Absolutely.
Without pushing.
Yeah, absolutely. Then I think also if this, you know, if she sees, you know, as again, it's kids. If your kids see you doing something similar, you know, you become. I mean, you are a role model as a father anyway. But you know, I think you're an extra bit, you know, give you something extra special about you that they can, they think, well, look, he's doing it. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe that's just something I can get myself into, and, you know, and half the time they're better than we are.
There's no doubt about that. I remember taking her on stage the first time at the Meadows Festival.
Yeah.
Just so she could look out to see what was
like.
You've done it with Jack, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, and she had a wee inflatable guitar, and she was just sort of standing, but she was just staring out, you know, like terrified.
Rabbit in headlights.
Totally. And there was another one as well that we took her. I was playing in Port Pie at the time. We'd done a festival down in Gala Shields, and she burst into tears. She was standing at the front. She just burst into tears, and Sarah had said to her, "What's wrong?" And she went, "Daddy's shouting."
"You shouting, you nasty man." Bless her little heart. Right, we're going to move on because time flies these podcasts.
Yes, it certainly does. I and after chat.
It is. Mr. Andrew, you're not the only one, mate. I can boil the pants of anybody. you mentioned early on that you were into the dancing.
Yes.
Was it dance in general, or was it rave, or, you know, I don't know fuck all about that.
No, I really did like going to raves, clubbing and hanging about with mates, and probably about 1985, 86, 87 maybe. I kind of lost my way with ska because there was nothing around, and I was chasing women, so I was going to different places, you know, I was going to different clubs, the old bit disco dancing and stuff, you know, it was always you had to try and dance with somebody, whereas when we went to rave, it was more like tribal and back to being a skinhead and just...
Yeah. Yep.
Getting up on your own and just dancing and just doing your own thing, you know. I loved it, and I could hear the ska coming through on a lot of the dance tracks. I actually walked out a rave when they played a techno version of Israelites. I was standing, and my mate's wee brother Richie could see that I was getting annoyed, and he went, "What's up?" And I went, "No, enough's enough." And he's like, "He's gone. What's the matter? What are you getting so annoyed about a margarine advert for?" That was it. Boom. Out I went and stormed out the rave.
There's never any pictures around, is there, for these type of things? There should be video on phone somewhere. I don't know. Right, so this track is Set You Free by Entrance. Now, the funny thing about it is we have a little connection there, because I was actually in the video slightly.
Yeah,
I was there. It was filmed at Clifford's Tower fireworks display, and my kids were tiny. And one was crying, hiding under the pushchair. I remember that, and doing my head in. It was freezing. And they turn up in this huge limo and prance around and, you know, and stuff like that.
Do their video.
So, right, ladies and gentlemen, here's an interesting one for you. This is Andrew Laidlaw's third track. This is Set You Free, Entrance.
Free.
calling all Rudies. You are listening to the Scarpone's Sound Off podcast. It's a message to you, Rudy.
Come on, then.
Why?
It
sums it up for me, the raves that we were at. It was one of the songs when it came on, one of the tunes. Everybody, it was just, there really was just complete euphoria throughout the whole place, and everybody was together. They were smiling, laughing. I was with my friends, my cousins. It really summed it up for me.
It's the good thing, isn't it?
And I've always fancied doing a ska version of it, but never got around to it. And I don't know whether it would work, but
anything will work. I reckon you could.
I think so as well, yeah.
Because like you just said there's a lot of stuff. I mean, you know, you listen to a lot of rave or acid or whatever it is and stuff like that, and you can pick stuff out quite easily.
Yeah.
You could easily transform that round, you know.
Yeah.
So there you go, there's your next task.
But should it be touched? That's my
Well, I do say I'm a strong advocate of so there are some songs out there that should never be attempted. I've always
That's said. Right.
And stuff like that.
Some of them just don't work.
Well, they don't, and if they do, it doesn't. You think, what the hell's going on here? You know. So you've done a lot of stuff and what have you and stuff. Is there anything you'd really like to musically? Is there anything else you know you'd like to experience or? Is there anything outstanding or?
At the moment, just getting out to a gig.
That's a good start. It's a good start. Yeah. Tell me about it.
But do you know, I'm really content. I've met nearly all my heroes.
That's good.
And I had a beer with most of them and got stories. Yeah. And for me, that's the ultimate. I mean, at the age I'm at now, we're never going to get rich at this. You know.
No. Well, I mean. The big thing as well, of course, is that maybe if we were doing what we were doing 30 years ago, we would be on some independent label or something, or, you know, I mean, the music industry's fucked, you know what I mean? And this is the way it's going to be. I think unless you're working for, you know, you're a tuneless, out-of-tune bastard from X Factor or anything like that, then, you know, it doesn't mind being auto-tuned to death, you'll be all right, you know, you're a relative of somebody who owns BMG or, you know, and it's just...
Yeah.
You know, it's I think, and to be honest with you, and you do the same thing as exactly the same thing as us. I think there's more pride in doing what I call it, because it's proper DIY, isn't it? Do it yourself. Everything you do, you make your own merch, you make your own songs, you print your own tracks, you pay for your own albums, you pay for your own getting to gigs. You know, there's no, and I quite like that because you're totally in control.
That's it, and you can feel proud of it when it's finished. And if it isn't any good, then it's only yourself to blame, really, isn't it?
It is.
You know, you can't start blaming producers and
no.
That's
a good point. Yeah. So I mean, excuse me. So you mentioned that you were about doing an EP. So that's the end of January, or you aim if the end of January.
It's recorded, but because Dins wasn't able to make the main recording, he's doing his parts from home, although I believe that's them just been submitted now.
Oh, cool.
So it'll be down to when the studio can get the mix done.
Yeah. That's it.
I reckon possibly mid to end of January will be when we'll do it digitally. I can't see us releasing it any other way, but you never know. It'd be nice to maybe do a vinyl or
yeah, we've just submit the vinyl, basically because while Marlo was sat in their asses for 6 months during the first lockdown, I was the one plugging away, putting everything out, and we raised a little bit of cash through daft little sales of stuff, you know, and finding old bits of stuff and remixing it and stuff, and which worked quite a treat. So we've gone for a 7-inch vinyl as well as the CD. I think some of do you prefer vinyl to CD or?
For nostalgia, I prefer vinyl. It makes it kind of awkward on your phones the way forward, really. But you really didn't get the sound, eh? You just don't get the sound.
No. I think so. I mean, digital's great and stuff, but I think sometimes digital's too clean. Do you know what I mean? It's just, I do like this because I've just got more specials, the new 40th anniversary, which is a half speed masters in the heavyweight vinyl. And it sounds like, oh, just rich. Do you know what I mean? It's rich. you know, and I was like, yeah, that's what it sounds
it's
like.
Just, it's just the whole thing, taking it out of the cover and everything.
Yeah.
It's just...
yeah. So going back, you said you've got the EP coming out. But now the question I'm going to ask you now, is, and it's one that plenty of people ask me, is there going to be another Big Fat Panda album?
Yes, definitely. This is the EP is the beginning of it. We have so many tracks sitting unfinished that it's time to get it sorted and so there will be an album next year definitely.
I mean, we had,
I don't know at what point.
Yeah.
But
sometime.
And I want to have it done and ready at the very latest for Specialized.
Latest. That gives you a good run, especially. I mean, the thing is, we don't know what's going to happen next year, probably yet, even anyway. We're all surmising, really.
That's right. We don't know.
I think we've got to think positive. We've got to think. I mean, I personally think that, you know, going looking at history and stuff like that, I was been doing a bit of research and all this crap. I don't know if it's right or not, but after you've had the second wave, it tends to peter out a little bit. Viruses tend to peter out, no matter what it is. And, you know, and I was watching the thing about the Spanish flu, which was thousand times more deadly than this thing.
Yeah.
And you know, and that did the same thing. It had a big second wave where it killed more people, although this one's not doing that. And then it just sort of vanished before it, you know, we watered itself down and went. So like I say, we've got to look forward to it and stuff like that. What was I going to say? I do this all the time. It's age, you know.
Getting venue owners to as long as. I mean, how many venues are going to go out of business? That's the trouble.
Well, we've lost four major ones up here. Four. The Brewery Tap where you played.
I know. That's
what on earth is going on when places like that go, which was brilliant inside, brilliant outside, and now they've stripped it and flogged it all off. It's shocking.
And it's a real shame.
We've had even social clubs close up here, which is rare. But you know, some social clubs stay up mainly for live entertainment, and they've gone. And these places, whether they, you know, these are bread and butter places where likes of you and I can play and stuff like that, but they're gonna, you know, there's nothing to replace them.
Yep.
You know.
And then how many people say, "Wow, look at all the money we saved just sitting having a drink and a burger in the garden."
Exactly. Ta-da. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Who knows what the future brings?
I think, you know, we've just got to help. Whatever the situation will be when it finishes, we're just gonna have to be there to lift them up. You know, I think sometimes a lot of I think some venues are gonna say, "Well, I can't afford to pay what you normally ask for," and then we're gonna have to play with that, aren't we? We're gonna have to say, "Right, well, fuck it, we'll just do it." No matter.
I've done that for the beginning, Paul.
We have as well.
I know you're a man after my own heart.
Absolutely, we're cut from the same cloth. Yeah, I like to think. Yeah.
Definitely.
Right. Time's getting upon us, so let's go to Andrew's. Andrew, I don't like calling you Andrew. It's your Sunday name,
right?
That's what I was. Right, now here's a cracking track and a cracking band as well. Going back into the ska world, a bit more punky ska here, but this is the Mighty Mighty Boss Tons and The Impression That I Get, which is obviously probably their most prolific song, I think, isn't it? You can explain why now before we go into it.
Right, do you know it? What happened is that's the song that kind of grabbed my attention to get me back going more towards ska again,
mm-hmm.
out of the dance thing.
Well, that's good. That's good.
That album, let's face it, I bought it on because of the impression that I get, and just loved it. And I got myself more into the Boss Tones. And
so was that like listening to it and thinking, oh Christ, there is stuff going on out there. You know.
Yeah, that was exactly it.
Yeah.
That was it. Because I mean, obviously, you're doing all this before the internet. So if you didn't see it in a newspaper.
That's it.
Or a magazine. But
yeah. That's why I used to subscribe to a lot, and I used to run my own fanzine, but I used to subscribe to a lot of fanzines as well. Because that's where you got the news from. You know, I mean, look at like things like Do the Dog and things that which are still going now. You know, the mines are little gold mines of information. So you know what's going on around the world, and you know it's up to you to go find it. Really, you know.
That's it. And then when you do start digging, there turns out there was quite a bit kicking around, you know.
Tons of it.
And that was more when I'd maybe seen Proy again, Amphetamines playing at the Cas Rock in Edinburgh, which was an amazing venue for punk bands and everything. That's well and truly gone. That went a good few years ago. And myself and Big Joe from... Bomb Scare's bass player standing in for the Pandas, and also hopefully if we finally get the Robustos going,
I was just going to say before we go move on, Robustos, tell before we go back to play your track, Robustos, come on, tell people because a lot of people won't know that the Robustos. You did appear on Check One too. I do remember.
We did appear on the within Your Wondering Now.
That's right.
And what you're talking about, the roughness, that was the whole idea behind the track. You know,
getting
it kind of punky, with a bit of a ska beat going through it. But the Robustos, we've started writing, but it's been such a long time in the getting everything together. And finding time. Whenever I'm doing something, somebody the other guys seem to be not doing, and whenever they're doing, you know, it's just...
Absolutely.
But we have actually started writing a couple of tracks now. Colin, the guitarist, he was in the 1 o'clock Guns with me.
Lovely.
That's the connection there. Mikey, that's the... Well, he's not... He is a drummer. He was a drummer for the 1 o'clock Guns very briefly.
Keeping it going.
And then he went... But he plays keyboards, bass, and he's been producing his own singles throughout the whole lockdown. He's a big Bowie fan, and it comes through on his
influences.
Track. We're so lucky to have him involved because he's just musically clever, you know. It doesn't matter what he touches, it sounds great.
It's great, it's all, like every band or should have somebody like that. You know, in our lot we're quite lucky that since we've gone to do original stuff, is the fact that is the whole collective has started sticking stuff in. You know, Steve Brown sax can write and read music. Steve Cummins can read and write music. You know, Mark plays things by ear, but puts stuff down on his software.
Mark's a talented guy. So are the rest of the Scoopones, but
I don't know about that. No, please don't.
I've known Mark a long time, so.
Yes, we are. That's why he's a cunt. Aren't you, Mark? Anyway, because I'm sure he'll listen to it. But we do love you. You're still a cunt. With a shit record collection. Fucking Roger Whittaker. Anyway, another story. Right, I digress. So let's go back there. This is Andrew Laidlaw from Big Fat Man. This is fourth track. This is the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones with Impression That I Get.
Impression that I get. the hat, I better knock on wood, cause I'm sure it isn't good, and I'm glad I have it.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was the Mighty Mighty Bosstones impressions that I get. Of course, the Bosstones are back out recording and touring. Are you happy about that?
Yes. I've seen them live once.
Was it Edinburgh?
And what an amazing concert. Honestly, yeah. What an amazing concert. The brass section just blew me away when I seen them the first time.
I personally, again, like a lot of American stuff. I love stuff like Bim Scala Bim and the Toast.
Oh, Bim Scala. Bim, I seen them live with Bad Manners.
And, that's right, I did. Same tour. Yeah.
Amazing. The trombonist is just
Finny,
mad. He was just running about crazy.
Still does.
But the Bosstones, and everything was there. Everything was just very visual on the stage, and I just loved it. I totally loved it. And if I ever get the chance to go and see them again, I will. You know.
Yeah, of course you will. Yeah.
Yeah, Specialized 10.
Yeah. Don't think I haven't tried. The problem with the Bosstones is you've got to go through agents, and agents are fucking pain in the ass, to be honest. If I get to the bands, I'm like, get in. I'm all right.
A couple of beers and I'll agree.
That's it. Yeah, we'll do it. Right. Let's have a look. So what we've got coming up to Saturday. As we approach the end of this podcast, so you've got an EP coming out which you want to get out at the end of January if you can. You've got an album for some time in 2021. You've also got the Bosstones. Have you got enough time for all of this?
That's the trouble. I've got loads of time and I still end up saying, oh, I was so busy I couldn't get anything done. You know?
Life gets in the way, mate. Life
you're sitting watching the telly and eating biscuits.
Hey, now come on. There's nothing to be knocked there. That is a very important thing to be able to do, I tell you. Or dairy milk, one of the two. we're coming to the end and thanks for taking the time out for one thing. And
I've taken the time out for the TV.
And your biscuits, don't forget. Everybody, have you got biscuits in the off shop there? Just looking around, I can't see it.
No, I've got, I'll tell you what I have got though.
What?
I've got some Bonville buttons.
Oh, my favourite. Oh, my God. One day we'll be passing through screens, won't you?
Willy Wonka.
Right, ladies and gentlemen, that's Big Andrew Laidlaw from Big Fat Panda. You've been a wonderful man. Take care, my lovely fellow. Been wonderful
Absolute
having pleasure. You on. Round of applause for Miss Andrew Laidlaw.
Thank you very much. Cheers.
Right, listen, man, it's been great to talk to you. Great to see you as always. And hopefully we'll be able to catch up for a beer and thrash the world out.
Well, hopefully soon, eh?
We hope so, yeah. Take care, my friend. Thanks a lot, mate. Ta-da now. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Cheers, Andy.
Northeast Ska Freaks. You're listening to the Scapones and their Sound Off podcast.